Hi, ladies and gentlemen. As a former Husker and NFL player, I'm a bit of a health nut. Hydration and recovery, they do start at home. That's why you should team up with Culligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects your water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage. For drinking, add a Culligan reverse osmosis. It's like bottled quality water right at your tap. Great taste and is certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, get up to $300 off a whole home system or just $9.95 a month for your first 3 months. Schedule your free water test at CulliganHuskers.com. That's CulliganHuskers.com. Culligan of Lincoln, why do you love Go Big Red? All right. Anything else off the text line real quick?
Just more people that want more blood. I mean, there's questions about offensive line coaches, strength coaches, linebacker coaches. Tight end coaches, more basically everybody.
Well, we have one of the highest paid tight end coaches in America. At one point I looked it up and he was the highest paid, but he went from OC to tight end. I have not looked it up. Boy, it's not a little over a year ago now. Everyone needs to be evaluated. Everybody. Again, who would you consider unequivocally safe? Eckler. We know Rule's not going anywhere. We know Dan is not going anywhere. Would you consider Holgorsen unequivocally safe? Maybe not unequivocally, like 95% safe or better.
I think he is, but I do think this is more of Coach Butler falling on the sword. I don't think the offense has been a whole lot better than the defense. And I think if you give the defense Emmett Johnson or, you know, an equivalent, a Lavonte David, I think they would probably perform okay or comparatively. So I'm interested. And again, Dana Holgorsen, you said it, I've already said it. He knows more about football than I would in 100 lifetimes, but. I'm just intrigued by the whole thing. Dana Holgorsen, I do think is safe. I think there's a respect level from Rule to Holgorsen. Holgorsen kind of came in to help Bell Rule out in the middle of a season, for God's sake. But that side of the ball needs to get significantly better, especially if Emmett's gone. I don't even know. I mean, it would be hard to imagine them scoring over 20 points.
Emmett Johnson led all Power Four players in all-purpose yards, number two overall in the country. There was a non-Power Four player who had slightly more, about 50 yards more. Led the Big Ten in rushing. Touched the ball almost 300 times this year and only fumbled once. I think that might be the most impressive stat of all of his impressive stats. That's insanity right there. Averaged almost 6 yards a rush, 5.8 yards per carry. And also led Nebraska in receptions. I'm going to be honest. That's great for Emmett. That's not good for the offense as a whole. The ball needs to be spread out more. Your running back cannot also be your leading receiver. So we got to get the ball spread out more. That's great for Emmett. Again, not great for the offense as a whole. You start to go through other guys real quick. I feel like Dan is probably going to stay. Eckler's probably going to stay. Obviously, Rule, Dan. And, I mean, to go through every single position coach, I mean, we can just go through it real quick. Glenn Thomas. Matt Rule just spoke glowingly of Glenn Thomas. He was an NFL quarterbacks coach for years. What do you think? Odds. We're not talking definitively. Just everyone's up for evaluation, but
yeah, he's at one time been the offensive coordinator too. I don't know if that's still the case, but I mean, I think you'll probably stick with him. I think they need to be careful with this hunt for blood. Right? Is if you preach consistency and continuity, and they're heading the right direction, you can't do fire sale. In my mind, so I think a lot of these guys are almost are safe because of that. Not necessarily because of what they've done.
I don't think you make changes just for the sake of making changes or bloodlust, for lack of a better. I just watched a movie and like the neighbors, what was it called? The Beast. It was a series, The Beast in Me or something like that. And the neighbor turned out to be like a murderer, but he was suspected the whole movie. By the way, anytime you ever watch a series or a movie and someone's suspected of doing it, let me tell you the end. They did it. Every single time my entire life that's ever been, ooh, did they do? They've always done it. There, I just ruined half the movies you're ever going to watch. But he's looking at her. So he's like, you find out in the end, he did it. He killed his previous wife, made her disappear. He looks right at his neighbor, who is an author, going to write a book on him because he was nationally like thought to have killed his wife. Then we found out he did it later on. He just kept telling her that it was bloodlust. You want bloodlust in this book, don't you? It sells bloodlust. We can't give in to bloodlust. If guys are not doing a good enough job, hey, you got to do what you got to do. I don't think you just go dropping the axe every which way just for, I don't want to say bloodlust, but just because you're mad right now. Right. That makes sense. So, again, we don't have to go through every single position, coach. For me, I look at the defensive side of the ball. Whether we do, do you think Rhule stays 3-3-5 or hybrid? So. You don't think so?
I mean, hybrid, maybe more. I mean, they ran a lot. The whole conversation does get a little bit silly because I think they had a four-man front more often than not this year. So, I mean, I would say maybe 4-2-5, but that's probably the similar. You know, so I think there's got to be, you know, packages of running that sort of stuff, regardless of what your base defense is. But I wouldn't have somebody whose defense is not the 3-3-5 run the 3-3-5, which is what they did with John Butler. So hopefully not that.
He was here for a year, though.
Correct.
Wasn't like he'd never been exposed to it.
But that's why I'm frustrated more about the John Butler thing altogether, is that John Butler was brought in as a secondaries coach in the summer when your previous secondary coach had to be let go, right?
Yep.
But somewhat putting pressure on Tony White. Did that cause division within the coaching staff?
I believe so.
Perhaps. And so Tony, you chased Tony White out of town with John Butler, gave John Butler Tony White's defense, then got frustrated at the end that John Butler couldn't run Tony White's defense. This is a complete mess. And that's why, I agree with you. Maybe they're making the decision to move forward and make the better move forward. But if you look at this backwards, it looks awful.
Dude, preach, Jake. Preach. I hope everybody caught what you were just putting down. I hope everybody's picking up what you just put down. That was, I hadn't even thought about all that. Because they did bring in Butler late. It did cause division with Tony White. Tony White left. You promote Butler. It doesn't go well. You fire Butler. Oh.
Who's running Tony White's defense. Don't forget that.
If you look at it inversely of how I just described it, which you just did. Oh, man. That does not look great. What I would like to see, let's talk about this, because we can talk about prospective names of guys they can bring in, which we've kind of done to this point. I'll be honest with you, out of all those names, I get the most excited about Jim Leonard, and I believe he's a 3-4 type guy. Former All-American walk-on to safety at Wisconsin, a guy who understands what it's like to be overlooked, then play at the top level. Then he was the interim coach at Wisconsin before Luke Fickell.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
He was a defensive coordinator, a very good defense. He's a 3-4 type guy. We can talk about scheme. We can talk about names possibly coming in. We can talk about more guys who may or may not be kept. I think we've covered that enough for today. I'm sure we'll revisit it at some point. I want to talk about what I want the defense to look like. I will say this. I do think all offseason, and we pointed this out before, we said we're inexperienced and we're lighting the britches up front. Rhule said we're going to be, what do you say, hell on wheels, one of the best defensive lines around. And I remember when I chatted with him one time, he's like, I know we're light up front, but he kind of just brushed it off. Like, almost didn't. Like, you didn't see this? You didn't see this coming? Like, you bring in Jalen George, who's a guy who is a depth piece, a guy who can eventually contribute down the road, possibly. Gabe Moore, talented dude out of Mississippi State, freshman. He's got 3 more years with us. Well, depending on the transfer portal, how that works. But you didn't bring in anybody who in theory could start right away, most likely. Now, anybody could step up and surprise you. But as far as, hey, we brought in Elijah Pritchett and expected him to start right away. Now, whether that went well at the beginning of the year or not, but that was the expectation. You did 0 of that on the D-line. And so to me, I mean, that's got to fall on John Butler, but it's got to fall on Rhule as well. All right, I just want to point that out. What I want our defense to look like going forward, I want our defense to be, and I've said it before, old school, blue collar, in your face, smash mouth. What does that mean? It means you don't have an opposing coach in your locker room after the game. He was in tears. The tougher team, the tougher team. It means you don't have an opposing coach after a game where they just ran for a 54-yard touchdown, 73-yard touchdown, 37-yard touchdown, Michigan, talk about how they knew they were pretty much manhandling you. That's not the words he used. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. When you hit somebody in the mouth, Woody Hayes, legendary Ohio State head coach. Somebody just asked me, does Dawson McCullough and Williams Wanerie count as D-line to you? I don't think Dawson McCullough does. Williams Wanerie is a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I know he was listed as a D-line.
Well, and he was, but I mean,
240.
Yeah.
I mean, good
pass rusher.
Yeah. What pass rusher is the best way to put it. When I think of D-line, I think of someone you're going to put in first and 10 consistently that can rush the passer and stop the run. Not that he can't, but at 240, that's tough to do unless you're a wide nine in a 4-3. Then that's different. Even then, you're lighting the bridges. 260 is about what you need to be for that. I want, like, Woody Hayes defined toughness as two people hitting each other over and over and over and over, and eventually one stops hitting back. And the person who keeps on hitting is the tougher person. Like, I want that to be our team. Yeah, sometimes you're going to get knocked back on a double team. Sometimes they're going to get an 8-9 yard gain on a run. But that's got to be the outlier, not the norm. AKA the term we used a lot this year, leaky defense. I want to be a physical front that when teams watch the film, you know, Penn State's interim head coach told somebody before the game, we're going to run a straight up their A. Like that's, this person texted me, like they're going to run a straight, we're going to run a straight up their A. Like coaches, I don't have the clip of that, by the way. You probably figured that out. Like what? A third of the teams that we played this year, I know for a fact what they thought of us physically. Because I've either heard it or been told directly by someone who was on the sideline. I want a defense with knock 'em back, with a physicality, with the ability to get off blocks, to be a good tackling defense, to be a fundamentally sound defense. Back to the basics and fundamentals of football on defense. That's all Iowa is. That's all Iowa is. You're not going to knock Iowa back. You're not going to break many tackles. You can hit them for four quarters. They'll come back for quarter five and keep hitting you in the mouth. That's all they are. That's what I would like our defense to look like. Whether that's a 3-4, whether that's a 4-3, whether that's a 3-3-5, whatever. Personally, I played them both, the 4-3 and the 3-4. The 4-3, you need more impact defensive linemen. You need guys, they're going to play a little bit more with their hair on fire. In the 3-4, your outside backers need to be your better pass rushers. Your defensive linemen need to be bigger, stouter, taking on double teams all day, and then they need to be unselfish. I've done both in the NFL. I know what both of them are like. I'm a little bit more partial to the 3-4, and the only reason I'm a little bit more partial to the 3-4 is because there's so many things you can do out of it. Now, if you want to be more basic and just put your hand in the dirt and go knock somebody back, which is kind of Mike Eckler's approach on special teams, I'm not going to fancy this thing. We're just going to be really good at what we do. And when I coach teams, that's honestly my approach. Just FYI. We will never outcomplicate you, but we will out-fundamental the crap out of you. At least that's my goal. So the argument, if that's your approach, would be the 4-3. Because it is simpler. To me, when you get to college, I don't mind complicating it. I don't want to say complicating, but throwing more at the offense, potentially. 3-3-5, it's all about fooling the quarterback and playing downhill with speed with lighter guys. And it's a little bit, it was originally put together by a guy in California who was coaching a team that was outmanned by all their opponents. And he came up with it and had success with it because nobody's ever seen it. It's a unique defense. It has its pluses and its minuses, just like any defense. But he came up with it because they were outmanned. So the 3-3-5 is a good defense, but you kind of run it against teams where you got to trick them, dick them a little bit more, for lack of a better way to put it. And if that's what Rhule still wants to do, that's fine. But to your point, bring in a 3-3-5 experienced defensive coordinator to run a 3-3-5 or hybrid defense. Not a guy who was not experienced as a defensive coordinator one season at Penn State in 2013, and not a guy who wasn't all that experienced in the 3-3-5 or hybrid. He spent 1 year in it as a secondaries coach. So that's what I want our defense to look like. Now, we can go beyond how much do we blitz? How much do we run man? How much do we run zone? Are we a cover two? Are we Tampa two? Are we cover three? Like, what are we? Cover one, man across the board, always blitzing a guy. Are we a defensive line that stunts? Are we just going to line up and build a wall? Like 3-4 defensive linemen, you're taught to stack and build a wall, take on all the double teams, and the linebackers roam free over the top. They get all the credit, make all the tackles. But that's part of being unselfish. We can get into all that. At the core, we got to be able to knock people back, be physical for 5 quarters out of 4, and we got to be able to fundamentally tackle 9 times out of 10. And whatever you want the X's and O's to look like beyond that, so be it. You got to run what you believe in. But if you're not good at those things, you can put 12 men on the field. Put 12 men on the field, probably be a halfway decent defense. But unless you put 12 men on the field, you're not going to be very good no matter what you're running. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere.